We're going to first go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, starting at verse 28. And this is Jesus talking. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's all the Lord has ever wanted for us after he had planned the plan of redemption through his son, Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 3, we're going to go there, and God explains the general plan to Moses and what he planned to do. See, he told Moses, he said he wanted to take the Israelites to enter them into the land of milk and honey. And in Exodus 3:7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Isn't that a blessing? Thank you, Jesus. What a merciful God. What a loving God. And see, that's all he ever wanted. And the reason why the children of Israel stayed so long in the wilderness is because of rebellion and a failure to not go forward. They kept looking back. And see, God wants us to go forward. I heard a little story about this little girl. She kept falling out of the bed. And so her mom came in one night and she said, honey, why do you keep falling out of the bed? And she said, Mommy, I guess because I keep sleeping close to the edge. And see, that's what we do. We live close to the edge. God wants us to continue to go forward in him, because there's higher heights and deeper depths in Christ Jesus. And in Numbers 14, it's a scripture there in verse 2 and 3. It says, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us out of this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims?" And see, that rebellion, see, came in, and they were mumbling and grumbling and complaining every step of the way. And see, don't we do that sometimes when God's trying to bring us to a place so he can love on us and show us, you know, all the things he had planned for us? You know, I think it's fear, you know. Fear sets in, and then, you know, we go backwards. We say, well, you know, out there in the world, I did this and I did that, because the enemy, he turns up the heat on you. You know, all these temptations come, you know, and so these temptations become, I'm sorry, so strong sometimes, until you say, well, I might as well just go for it, you know. And, you know, this gospel is not a microwave thing, you know. It's not coming fast enough. You know, we have to be patient in this walk. I think we talked about that last week. You know, the Lord might set before us dreams and visions and things, but he has to position us in our hearts in order to position us for the position. You see what I'm saying? He has to get those things out of us so that we'll be able to appreciate those things and enjoy those things when he give it to us. You see, he said, "Seek the kingdom of God first and all his righteousness, and all these other things will be added." If we keep seeking the Lord and stay in him and cry out to him when we come against some hard knocks and hard times, he'll be there. He said he'd never leave us or he'd never forsake us. And that's what we've been talking about, you know, trusting God. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And he will do that. And see, when we, this is a trap. We talked about it last week, and sister was on with me. She had wrote a book about Caught Up in the Web, Will You Escape? And see, guys want us to escape this honey trap, you know, this of mystery Babylon, you know? So Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and the blood, his word and his spirit will prevail. We have to remember that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. By God's grace, we denounce that great whore of mystery Babylon, you know? And we must grow and be purified and become that spotless bride dressed in the righteousness work that God prepared in advance for us. You know, in Ephesians 2:10 talks about that work, you know. And I want to go back and explain more about what each, some of you know and some of you may not know what Egypt was about. Egypt is sort of symbolic of sin. Egypt is symbolic of the world, you know, Babylon, sin. And God wants to lead us out of that. And Pharaoh, he was like the like a Satan, a type of Satan, you know, the symbolic of Satan. He did not want to let the people go. And just like Satan, and God, you know, God told Pharaoh, let my people go. And, you know, and God has made a way for us to be loose through his Christ, through his son, Christ Jesus. All we have to do is accept that. Like we talked about, he bringing us, see, when he brings us out of Egypt, he brings us out and then put us into the wilderness to try our hearts, to see what's in that heart. Then he puts up that mirror and shows us. And I remember the time when the Lord was showing me about all the things and how wicked men was. And in Genesis, it's all their whole desires were, and everything in them was just full of sin. Their desires were just evil. And only God knows a man and a woman's heart. We can't look into people's heart and tell, you know. They might perform a certain way before us, and we don't know what's in their heart. I remember Ted Bundy. You know, he was a mass murderer, but people were saying, this is a nice guy. You know, we worked around him. We never knew that this man was capable of doing all these things. You see, we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and only God knows the heart. That's why we have to ask God to come in and give us a new heart and a clean heart and a right spirit. I remember I told the Lord, when the Lord showed me this and all the evil that was going on back there, I said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and a right spirit. I do not want my heart to, you know, to deceive me, because the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? No one knows the heart but God. So what we do is put that heart before the Lord, and the Lord will do the rest. And all our goodness and all that we think that we are is like filthy rags before the Lord. We have to first be justified by his son, Jesus Christ. And then the second plan, the second process is the sanctification. First we justify, then we sanctify, and then he brings us to the glorification. I tell you, what a patient God, what a loving God we have. And see, back to the children of Israel, that trip that they were supposed to take should have taken them 90 days, but instead it took them 40 years because they kept complaining, they kept whining. That's why I'm kind of veering off, but it's the same subject. But I remember Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah. I love that book. That's one of my favorite books. Matter of fact, I have a lot of favorites. But Nehemiah talked about it and how he built up the wall, and it took Nehemiah 52 days to do what men took 90 years to do. And I got a revelation on that. See, what Nehemiah did, he continued to work.
He continued to work on that wall. He didn't stop. You know, God gave him the, you know, gave him the word. He just pressed. He pressed forward and just kept going. He didn't stop during the summertime, you know, and sometimes in the summertime or different seasons at different times in our life, we think we can just stop and just, you know, just take a vacation. No, get to the place of rest. Then you can rest. Amen. But he kept digging. He kept building the wall and doing what it took to get that wall up. And that wall was like a protection around him. Once that wall was built, and that's what we have to do. We have to build the wall around us by staying in Christ, sticking and staying in Christ, and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, you see. And Nehemiah, that's what he did. He continued. Because when you stop and then you go off and let the flesh come in, see, that's one of the biggest tricks that the enemy plays. Okay, you think, okay, well, I'm fine now. I got enough word in me. I can stop. But like I said, just like Jesus said, I'll take it back to what Jesus said. Now, if Jesus said it, we can believe it. Remember when Jesus was tempted, when after the 40-day fast, soon as he got done fasting, through this, after this fast, who came to him? The tempter of his soul. He came to him. But what did he say? He said, it is written. And so God wants us to get enough of this word in us so when the tempter comes, we'll know exactly what to do. Our roots will be deep in Christ Jesus. We'll know what to do. And so that's the plan. We get in this word. And the Bible, and I can't come away from that when it says that when God said, my people perish by lack of knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of God. See, Christ is all-knowing, all-knowledge. And what we do, we eat this word. We drink this word. You know, it's our daily bread. He didn't say that it's our monthly bread, our yearly bread, but our daily bread. We need this to build that strength, to get us to the place that he wants us to go. But anyway, the children of Israel, they kept complaining and every step of the way, you know. And God wants us to trust him and believe that he will do what he said he will do. Because he's not a man that he would lie. He made two promises that he stood. He promised, he made an oath to us, and he made a promise. And those are two immutable things, you know. And if God said it, we must believe it. He couldn't promise us he would bring them. So we just have to believe and trust in that. And something that's very important that we talked a little bit about last week, and that's found in the book of Romans. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 8. What a beautiful book this is. And chapter 8, it says, chapter 8, verse 1. Free from indwelling sin. See, whom the Father sets free is free indeed. But how do we walk? And that's the thing. The children of Israel had to learn how to walk. And that's what we must do. Okay. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live in according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And see, the children of Israel, they had their mind on the things of the flesh. They would complain about all the herbs and the spices, and they probably smelled the aroma, you know, coming back from Egypt. But they had their mind set on the things back there when God was trying to teach them to walk according to him, to the Spirit of God. And see, he had already gave Moses the laws for them to follow, but they wanted to follow the flesh. And see, that's the problem. See, we have to, like Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you, brother, I beg you, brother, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before God, and you renew your mind by the word. Don't be conformed to the word, but be transformed by, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, he wants us to be transformed here. And see, they couldn't let the flesh go. And see, sometimes we're in the same with us. You know, we have to let go. When the Lord tells us to let go of some things, let go, because he knows what's best. He knows what's coming down the line. He knows. He knows better than we know. And we got to understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? And also in Numbers, I'm going to go in Numbers 14, it says, and all the children, they complained, okay? And, you know, they kept complaining about, you know, the different things. But, you know, God did not, you know, I think about that. God did not let their shoes wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. He had manna for them every day. And see, we have to come out of that place where we want things right now. You know, we want it right now. God, we have to trust him to give it to us when he needs to give it to us. See, rebellion, that's what it was about, rebellion. You know, he says they said that we would be better off in Egypt. They wouldn't be better off in Egypt because you see what they went through. But they still had that slave mentality. See, once God changes, brings us out, he said we must renew our mind. They said I'd rather be dead, you know, than to continue. See, the first 10 chapters of Numbers, God led the Israel through a process. He intended to change them from that, you know, slave mentality, that slave mindset. People, you know, to bring people to the promised land, you know, there have to be a change, you know. We can't go up there with all that old baggage and all that old luggage, you know. So God, that's why he said that we present ourselves a living sacrifice. And sometimes it can be a sacrifice just to sit down and get into the Word, but we must do it. I remember illustrating to you a few weeks ago, it's like exercising, you know? It's all worth it. You know, when you first start working out, the body does not want that. You know, you get a little aches and pains and you want to quit. But not, once you get through that little aches and pains and you start working out and start practicing and start doing it more and more, then the body craves it. It wants it, just like eating good things. Once you stop eating that junk and start eating good food, your body craves good food. You want more and more. And just like this word, once you get the knowledge of God the light switch comes on and you really understand the revelation of this thing, you want more and more and more. You know, the spirit desires more word, more word. I can think about in the middle of the night, sometimes I get up and I just want to read the word. Sometimes I don't go to bed till late because I want to consume all this word. I sometimes feel like David said. He said, I desire the word more than I do food sometimes. So I just encourage you tonight to just get into the word of God. You know, be led by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know what the Holy Spirit is, ask the Lord. He said, if you desire bread, I wouldn't give you a rock. So say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. I want to be led. I want to know you. I'm tired of the flesh leading my life. I want to know the good things that you have planned for me. You said that I was made in your image. And, Lord, I want to be all you want me to be. Amen. I have a prayer, it's a prayer that helped me a lot. And in my daily walk with the Lord, you know. And like I said, you get stronger and stronger in the Lord. You know, he don't want you to stay at one place because he has so many things he wants to show you. Like I said, there's higher heights and deeper depths in Christ Jesus. He wants us to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And I thank God for that. What a loving God. What a merciful God he is. So if you're led by the Spirit, then you are the sons and daughters of Christ. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I thank God for sonship tonight. Abba, Father. He said we can cry, Abba, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. What a merciful God. When I think of the goodness of God and all that he's done, you know, it just really excites my soul, you know, because I could have been left out there. But the Lord left the 99 just to come get this lost soul. And he's doing the same thing now. He's doing it tonight through me. He's making a call to you tonight to come out. He loves you. You are the beloved of God. He said he does not want you to continue to live in the slow nature of the soul, the soulish nature, that Adam nature. He wants you to live like his son and the blessings of his son to be upon you. Abundant life he wants to give you. This is the prayer that I have, and I just want you to listen to this. It says, I am a spirit being.